I would say that if internet marketing is the Wild West, Instagram is f***ing Neverland. Sorry, pardon my French, but seriously, it's like, there's no, I mean, the rule, I say there's rules, but there also are kind of like no rules. Like,
this is Super Fast Business with James Schramko. James Schramko. Helping you build your business super fast.
James Schramko here. Welcome back to superfastbusiness.com. In this interview series, I've been talking to experts about what they're specializing in and very different subjects to some that I'm familiar with. In this case, it's a topic that I have almost no understanding of, and that's why I've brought on my friend Bree to talk about Instagram. Welcome to the call, Bree.
Hey, James. Hey, everybody.
Now, most people know you as the Betty Rocker. I'm really interested in this stage name thing and if that has been an obstacle for you, or is it a positive for you when you go out there on the social media platform?
Actually, I find it to be incredibly useful. I wanted to have a name for the brand that people could sort of rally behind and imagine themselves as.
Was it sourced from Betty Crocker?
I guess kind of. I mean, I've been kind of an adrenaline junkie my whole life, and I also like to bake and cook. So people were calling me punk rock Betty Crocker since I was a kid. So it kind of morphed into Betty Rocker.
I was doing some baking yesterday. I actually made some vegetarian cupcakes for for some guests. We had some people come around. They don't eat meat, and it was a whole new world. I had to stretch a little bit, and I was quite proud of the output. Just had one before, actually.
What do you normally make a cupcake out of, James? Do you put bacon in your cupcakes, or I mean,
no? But I was really worried about things like eggs and stuff, because I know some maybe vegans don't like eggs, for example.
Right.
So I think these might have even been vegan cupcakes.
Wow.
So it's like you start, and then I'm wondering, you know, do they have this thing where they can't have certain things? You know, like some people have very restrictive diets. I don't. I'll eat just about anything. And so I guess putting in constraints adds a degree of difficulties.
Yes, absolutely. That's actually one of the ways that I started like building the brand was I actually like to create solutions for people who had different restrictions on their diets. And when I first got my start with Betty Rocker, I started teaching cooking classes at Whole Foods, which were alternative diets cooking classes. And that kind of helped me get to see what the people just have so many different needs when it comes to eating.
Well, I actually stayed right next to the Whole Foods in San Francisco where you are now. It sounds
awesome.
It's raining over there.
Yeah, sorry about the noise. It's,
okay.
I've got a skylight and it's just banging on the ceiling.
What can you do? It's summer here and I can't at all relate to it, but it'll be fine. Now, I like the Whole Foods setup in the United States. It seems to be one of the places you can actually eat, because I find as a tourist, it can be a bit of a struggle to find something that isn't completely toxic.
Oh, it's terrible.
Out and about. And it's not the same in Australia, and I imagine it's not the same in other places. You know, for example, when I went to Italy, I noticed that all the roadside petrol stations had healthy food options. You know, they had fresh tomato and salads and things. You won't find a lot of fast food. I know that in the United States, you must have a big audience of people who really want to find out how they can look after themselves.
Yeah, definitely, James. And, you know, sort of selfishly, I moved to the San Francisco Bay Area recently just because of like the abundance of clean, healthy food that's here. I mean, I can go to a farmer's market every day of the week, but, you know, I really want to create and provide solutions for people. So coming up with healthy recipes that almost anyone could make out of, you know, the foods that they can find, and really just bringing an emphasis back to eating whole foods is really what I'm about these days. So, but it is terrible how hard it is, you know, for people to kind of figure out what to eat, that there's just so much bad information out there and just so many competing brands that are telling you they're healthy and they just really aren't. And it feels like, I guess in this country more so than almost anywhere else, there's just so much bad food. I mean, you just look at the obesity in this country and it's spreading, unfortunately. So I really think, you know, this brand that I have and the other, a lot of my colleagues and friends on all over the place that are doing this stuff with healthy food and healthy eating, it's just so needed. So, yeah.
Now, would it be fair to say that Instagram is your primary platform for sharing a message?
Absolutely. Well, I'd say it's my primary traffic driver. My platform is more my blog, but Instagram.
Good. Oh, you're touching my sweet spot there, because I'm always talking about owning your own platform. So I'm glad you made that distinction. So you're using Instagram to drive people back to your blog.
The blog. To get the content, actually. And that's really key, because of course Instagram will own the content that I post on their platform. You know, that's cool, because I'm just using that as a place to get eyeballs on my content. And so it's just an amazing marketplace of people from all over the world who are able to access my content and my information. So I absolutely love it.
All right, so let's put some depth to this Instagram discussion. I hope it's okay if I can share some of your stats with listeners, because I want to get a feel for what you're doing on Instagram.
Absolutely. So
you have around 85,000 followers.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun, because today I'll go over 86,000. I was just laughing because I know I sent you that, and I just went up about 1,000 followers in the last couple of days.
Well, now you're just showing off.
Well, I did it actually. That's normal for me, but I did it specifically because I wanted to share with you what I did, so that I could share that with your listeners.
I had a similar thing when I did my screenshots for a Traffic and Conversion Summit talking about podcasting. I was just about to crack 1 million downloads for my podcast. And then when I went to have a look at it for my Noah Kagan post, I was like 1,100,000 and something. It really shoots up. And it's fun to find a little hyper growth market where you can strut your stuff. I like the podcasting medium. I don't know anything about Instagram. I know my kids are on it. I know that you're on it. And I would love to go on a journey of discovery. It also ties in with Facebook. I know that Facebook bought Instagram. I guess I know something about it. Now, you have a fan page with around 23,000 fans as well.
I do. And it really wasn't until I came up with a strategy just last year to translate some of my following on Instagram to Facebook that I mean, it was really all those fans that I have on Facebook are straight off of Instagram. But it's so cool because, of course, you know, Instagram doesn't really have live links, right? That's one of the issues with it. You get one live link in your profile, but not in your captions. And of course, nothing is really clickable on Instagram except for the hashtags. So my goal was to leverage that Instagram following to Facebook as much as possible. And I did that through a series of sort of big 30-day fitness challenge promotions, which that was just an awesome way to use Instagram, which I kind of just organically came up with.
So in simple terms, you used your one link to drive people to the challenge?
I used my one link to drive them to a squeeze page, basically, which, you know, gave them a very compelling thing that they all wanted. And then I used Instagram as a platform for building the community during the challenge and reminding people. I actually used it to train them to open emails. And, you know, my open rates are through the roof just because they're engaging with the content on Instagram daily. And I can say a little quick note, anybody who can't find their email, if you have Gmail, look in promotions tab. If you have this, look in this area. Like, so it was really awesome because I was able to like train my people to open their emails and engage with my stuff. So cool.
Well, it does beg the question. You have been able to build an email subscriber list from your Instagram/Facebook efforts.
Yes, it's interesting. You know, James, I've been asked to talk about my Instagram and how I've been monetizing it several times. And this is actually the first time I've talked about it, because I remember a while ago, Instagram has some really interesting rules about how you're supposed to use it. And one of them is you're not supposed to sell stuff on Instagram. And I got a little worried that they might shut me down, because they do arbitrarily shut accounts down right and left all the time. It's totally weird. And no one really knows why. So every once in a while, there'll be like a whole bunch of posts. There'll be a trend on Instagram where everyone will be freaked out that they're going to close their account down, and they'll go create all these backup accounts. And you do see some people get shut down. But I stopped worrying about that a while ago, because I think it's really for people who are spammers that they're really targeting. But
well, not only that, if you've managed to get them to your email list, you've back in control of that record.
Yeah, and, exactly.
You know, like I actually have survived with losing my Google advertising account. I've lost my Facebook advertising account in the past. I think I might have it back somehow. I'm not quite sure. I'm still trying to establish that. But that's partly why I built a system that relies on building my platform. If you did lose your Instagram account, would you be able to use some of the things that you've learned from running successful Instagram campaigns on other platforms?
Yes, and I would not give up. I would actually start a new Instagram account, which would be a feature account, which I think is an awesome strategy for building an Instagram list very quickly. And I guess just to back up to address the question you asked me before about like how did I build a list using Instagram, was just that simple, driving people to the squeeze page for something that they wanted, and then, you know, maintaining the engagement with them through the consistent daily Instagram post. And yes, everything you do on Instagram, it's almost like you're constantly split testing your content. It's so easy to immediately tell what people will engage with and what they won't, because it's a popularity contest. I mean, they're looking for stuff that's entertaining and engaging and useful, period. And if it's not, they won't like it. They won't click on it, and they definitely won't follow you.
Okay, so here's the really important one. Can you make money from this list that you've built in this market?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Right. So
yes, you can.
That's cool. So in short, we've basically got this big Instagram front end to your business. It's driving traffic. You're running them through Facebook, then to squeeze pages to your email list, and then you're somehow offering them products and services. Okay, what about if you're not in the same market you're in? What if you're not in the food or the, I don't know what you call your, forgive me if I got the wrong word, but like, what if you're not hot? What if you're not in the sexy body market? Because.
No, that's a good question. You're right. You're right.
My first interaction with your social media was you gave me camera and asked me to take a picture of you, which I did. And you happened to be doing a handstand. And when I went back to the hotel, I was checking my emails. I logged onto Facebook and I saw the picture and I'm like, oh, there's that picture I took. And then there's like 1,800 likes. I'm like, hang on a minute. There's something seriously going on here, because when I put a picture, if I did a handstand, I'd be lucky to get 40 likes, you know, and I'd probably, if there was a dislike button, I'm sure they'd click that. Like, is it different rules for you because of your market or the way that
Honestly, I have 85,000 followers. So if I don't get at least 1,000 likes on a picture, I'm doing something wrong. I know I'm going after my market, targeting them with exactly what they want to see. They want to see me, and they want to see me motivating them somehow. So I know exactly what my market wants. I know who they are, and I know what kind of content to post. Now, I have some specific ideas for people who are not in the health and fitness on Instagram is huge, because it's very easy to take a motivating picture of a fit body. It's very easy to take a picture of healthy food and post the recipe. These are great things for Instagram. I mean, it's a medium that lends itself very well to photographs, obviously. I mean, Twitter, you got to be clever and say something in how many characters or less? I don't even know, because I suck at Twitter. I'm way better at like photos. But you can easily find accounts on Instagram and leverage them. If you're an advertiser or a brand, look for people like me who might be a good fit for your market or your brand, and ask us if we'd like to do paid advertising for you. I'm personally not doing that, but I get approached by brands all the time who would like me to do that. I see other accounts who are doing it. And there's another way. I mean, it's not just food and fitness on Instagram. Fashion is very hot right now on Instagram. So is quotes and motivation. Anytime you can find a way to use Instagram to inspire people, that's the way to go. I've seen brands on Instagram who are selling something that's completely not health and fitness related. However, they have a health and fitness account, which motivates and inspires. And they maybe they're just posting daily videos, and that gets people to their squeeze page, gets them into their funnel, gets them doing stuff. And it's very easy to utilize some of the smart, motivated people on Instagram that are already there and get them to promote your stuff.
Okay, so I've got a few questions that you've just raised for me there. Firstly, it's very timely because I was just interviewing Justin Brooke about native advertising, and you just mentioned that it's possible for people to appear in that native environment, whether they approach you, you know, privately with a secret handshake behind closed doors, or if they are going, you know, Trojan horsing into the market with a health and fitness account, even if they're in a different industry. That is very interesting to me and topical. But you also said it lends itself to things that have pictures and very visual. And I interviewed Michelle McPherson about Pinterest marketing. And I think from my discussion with you, you said you haven't really been into the Pinterest movement yet.
No, I just don't have, I need to clone myself. I think that would be the ideal way to get into the Pinterest market because I just don't have time to do that. Plus build my lead pages, plus build my website and make content every day, plus train my new assistant. You know, I just don't have that much time.
Okay. Well, I want to just talk about that for a second because the way that I've approached it, and maybe it's wrong, but is I have my core blog, and when I do a post, I have the little sharing widgets underneath the post, and I go and click on Facebook and then Twitter and then Pinterest and then Google+. Now, I'm not doing anything with Instagram at all, but I found that it's not that too big a deal for me to syndicate my core content across different platforms with a different message for each, tailoring it for the audience. But you're saying that that mightn't work on the Instagram platform.
No, I'm not. I'm not saying that at all. I actually do the same thing. I will take my content from Instagram and repost it on Twitter with a shorter caption, maybe ask a question. I'll repost it on Facebook with something different, engaging, etc. But I just haven't gotten into Pinterest yet, and it may just be that I'm resistant to it because it just feels like a lot of work and pinning and just time wasting. But I mean, I get a ton of backlinks to the blog from Pinterest to my site. It's just, you know, I'll just have to take a cue from you there, James, and start making it a priority. I just really haven't yet gotten into it because I actually just really enjoy Instagram personally. It's fun for me. I think that's a big part of why I got so good at it in the beginning, just having fun doing it. And then, you know, I started developing some really specific strategies with it and testing things that worked and didn't work. And, but yeah, I definitely do use my content on Instagram across my other social media platforms, just happens to not be Pinterest.
Right. Well, I think there is a lot of stuff happening on Pinterest. It sounds to me like you've got such a following that people are pinning for you. And I think you get a pretty good visual person, a highly female demographic from memory, and it works really well for e-commerce as well. So I'm just, what I'm trying to do, I guess, is associate, would things that work well on Pinterest be ripe for the picking for Instagram? You know, that's
most likely. Yes, absolutely. The key is to really have a very specific Instagram account, a real targeted account, you know, that people know what to expect when they're looking at your posts. I don't know if anybody out there is looking at my account. It's at the Betty Rocker. You can see how I'm branding my videos, for example. I want to do things with my account that really let people know that that's one of my posts without having to put like my name on it. So, you know, really making them specific. And I think, you know, that would work perfectly with Pinterest stuff, except Pinterest just seems like you can just take any content you want and post it anywhere. I mean, you know, it doesn't have to be yours. There's like no ownership. It's all everywhere except for things that are backlinking to your blog or, I don't know, a specific picture.
Well, I think of it like a snakes and ladders game. It's like literally people are putting little portals back to your site from Pinterest with a picture doorway, you know.
It's probably way quicker and way more effective. I don't know. I really will have to check it out. Like I said,
I wonder, do you get any sort of analytics with Instagram to see?
There's a thing you want to download. It's actually just a website you can sign up for free account. It's called Statagram, and that will give you daily stats for your Instagram platform. It'll tell you when people are engaging with your posts the most. It'll give you statistics about how much engagement you're getting, how many comments you're getting, what the best time of day is to post. And you don't want to use Instagram as a camera app ever. I think when I saw you last weekend, I would get really engaged with a picture we had taken because I would be running it through like three different apps before I posted it. That's just to maximize the effectiveness of the picture. You know, I wouldn't just take a picture raw and post it just as it is with using one of their little filters.
Well, I think that's how most people think of Instagram. It's like where you put your picture.
Yes, the exact opposite of what you want to do with it if you're using it as a marketing tool.
Okay, so I can't let you off the hook this easily. My listeners love tools, tips, and tricks. You've already given one, how to get your stats. What other tools and applications do you use to run the Betty Rocker?
To run my Betty Rocker Instagram account, I would love to tell your listeners exactly what I use. I've got a few that are really cool. First of all, the one thing we haven't talked about much is how to use feature accounts to get your name out there, how to actually leverage the other people that are on Instagram, like the accounts with like 500,000 followers with 250,000 followers, how to make those people post your stuff so you can skyrocket your followers and grow your Instagram account. And the app that you want to use to communicate with these people, it wasn't made for Instagram, but it's been adopted by the Instagram community. It's called Kik, K-I-K. It's a messaging app. It's international. And what you'll see, this is how you find out who these people are that are going to be doing paid features that you can utilize for your business. Anytime you read a profile that says Kik, our Kik is this, or hashtag this for possible feature, that lets you know that that person is probably running a paid feature account. And they're a good person to Kik and ask them what their feature policy is or what their pricing sheet is for features. You can get, there's a lot of organic shout out for shout out that happens on Instagram where you don't have to pay for a feature, but Kik is the messaging app that you want to use. Now, to make your images look cool, there's some other apps that I highly recommend. One is Snapseed, which when it first came out was just a $4.99 app. It was a little mini Photoshop. It's very easy to use. It was bought by Google and it's now free. So that's definitely one to get. Second one is called Instacollage. This is a pretty basic one. And whenever you have the option, always get the pro version of these apps because they're like 99 cents and they give you just so much more fonts and options. They're way cool. This is an app that I've been using for captions, which is so cool. And no one else uses it. It's called Mystic. And it comes with all these really cool, like pre-made captions that even if you don't want to use one of their captions, it might give you some inspiration for doing a cool caption of your own. Title Effects is another one. And whatever kind of caption app you go with, maybe pick one that has fonts you really like because you want to brand your images with a specific font or a specific color scheme, because that will let people know every time they see that image or an image of that in their feed, that's you. They associate it with you. So I've been really consistent with that kind of stuff. If you're trying to take pictures of yourself or of yourself doing something, there's an app called Self Timer, just Self Timer app, really simple. It's one you might not think of, but it's very useful for Instagram. PicArt is another one that has just great fonts that has really some of those really good, really modern like handwriting fonts that are really hot right now on Instagram. Those are great. That's in PicArt. And then when it comes to making my videos on Instagram, I really just have two that I'm kind of consistent with right now. The first one is iMovie. They have the best app ever for making little quick videos. And then PicPlayPost. That's P-I-C Play Post, all one word. That app is money. And when you first get it, you can it'll give you a little tutorial of how to use it. So you can edit a video in iMovie, drop it into PicPlayPost, add a caption. You can make four videos that play at the same time. You can time them to play one after another. It's basically like a video collage app. Very, very effective. Awesome. So those are, I guess, my top ones that I'm using right now.
Very cool. And what's the difference between videos and pictures? What are you using mostly?
I've been testing out what they respond to the most, as far as that goes. And what I've found in my demographic anyway, is that it's really specifically like a picture of food is going to perform way better for me than a video of how to make the food. They're going to want to go on YouTube or on my blog to watch a full video of how to make a dish. But there are other accounts that are just crushing it with food. So maybe I don't know. I think that's because my audience really wants workouts. So like I just posted a little mini circuit on my Instagram just now today. And I gave them three moves in 15 seconds and told them that the full 5-move circuit is on my blog and that they can go there to get the full thing. That's and it's already like it's over 1,000 likes within an hour, which is really good. So they definitely are responding to workout videos. So it's like a useful piece of content that gives them something they can use right away in the moment. They also respond really, really well to quotes, just straight up text on the screen. Because remember, like what's really special about Instagram is that you can only use it really in your phone, in your life device, as I like to call it, right? Because you've got it with you like all the time. You freak out when you lose it. So it's like it really just allows you to establish this rapport with your audience because they're interacting with you in what they feel like is real time. You comment, they like, you comment back, it shows up on their phone right away. They really are super engaged and they'll tell you right away if they like it or not, because you'll see how many people like it immediately. It's just such a simple, easy thing to do. Sorry, I'm going off on a tangent. what was I talking about?
No, you're not at all, actually. It's you're talking about the phone, and that you're talking about captions, and that's the beauty of Instagram. Now, let's talk about captions a little more, long versus short.
Yes, long versus short.
I've seen you engineer these things. I see you take a picture, and then the next thing I see this amazing work of art with words and a story. Like you do, this seems to be the skill that you have that engages people. I really want to find out more about that.
Well, thank you for that. I got two things to say. I like to really motivate people and be very real with them. So sometimes I'll just straight up take a beautiful photograph of myself. And by the way, I'm 37 and I really like to celebrate like being physically fit and healthy. And that's what I'm selling my people. You know, it's nice when they're like, oh, you're a babe or you're beautiful, but it's really about empowering them through food and fitness to be their best self. So if I can stand up in front of them and say, I feel great, let me show it to you. And then I can actually intelligently talk about the strategies that I use in my own mind to be this person that I am right now. And hopefully that inspires and motivates them. Like I did a post while we were at the convention the other day, I woke up and I just felt great. Like I looked great. I felt great. I took a quick picture and I gave a little checklist of the things that were in my mind about how I sort of stay motivated. And I based it around, we all get the same 24 hours. And now here's my checklist of what I do to make the most of that time. And please use it if it's useful for you. And of course I went and made a blog post out of that and made a little PDF so they could print out that checklist. And people really like that. But I kind of go back and forth. Sometimes I will do a very short caption that's really funny or quick and just give someone a useful little thing that goes with the picture and asks them a question, because I always like to engage people with my content. And sometimes I write something long and motivational. I mean, it's really, really various. I mean, that picture that you took, the one with the New Orleans caption on it with the handstand, all I did was write, love this city, exclamation point, heart, heart. That was it. And it got almost 2,000 likes. And oh,
well, it really did surprise me.
Well, you know, it's probably because you took the picture. I mean, that's why it got so many likes. I mean, secretly knew that.
That's partly why it surprised me, because generally my pictures don't get that much of a review. But no, seriously, I'm like, there wasn't anything super tricky about it. It's just that you hook it up to this huge audience who swarm all over.
There's a little bit more to it than that, because that actually, this picture specifically is a good example of some of the things you asked me about before. Now, I took this picture and I ran it through three different apps. I ran it through Snapseed first and used the HDRscape filter, which gave it a really cool kind of polished, almost a cartoon-like look, which really fits with my brand. Second, I ran it through one of the apps that has text and added the New Orleans caption, which I slanted sideways to go with the building. So it looks cool. And then I put it in Instacollage and made it a square. And then that was it. I mean, but that wasn't just it. I mean, if I just posted that picture you took of me, I think it would have gotten about 1300 likes, but because we added these filters and made it really cool, it made it that much more appealing to the audience. I mean, it's very cool. And it got that post got a ton of comments where people were very upset with me for putting my hands on the ground. And that was fun because there's a lot of engagement. I like it when they have something to say.
So it's okay when there's something controversial?
Yeah, it's okay. And I'm pretty specifically always focused on positivity, because, you know, the bigger you get, the more crap people want to say. But I have kind of commanded a certain respect with my Instagram following, where they really, it's very rare that someone posts something negative in my feed. And this one, I don't feel like they were being negative, even though they were being sort of irate that I was getting my hands dirty. They were just worried.
So it's no YouTube comment system then.
Oh my God, I hate YouTube for that reason. Just, I can't stand how negative people are. I just don't like it.
It's quite bizarre. So, okay, leads me to another question. What do you do? I imagine people take some of your pictures and use them themselves. Do you find this happens?
Yep, totally happens. And, you know, James, I have one thing to say about that. It's abundance mentality. I'm never going to run out of ideas or pictures. And if you want to steal my pictures, that's on you. Like, I don't care.
Well, I was going to ask for permission to see if we could put that picture on this post on Superfast Business. So
you can use any picture of mine that you want. You always have my permission.
Well, I think it's good because we're talking about it. People can see what we're dealing with here, the kind of thing that gets a couple of thousand likes. When you are formatting, are there any little rules?
For formatting a caption?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. One is use emoji. Emoji is the keyboard. You go in your settings on your iPhone and you enable the emoji keyboard. That's how easy that is if you don't know where it is or you don't know what to do with that. Use emoji. People need to feel like emotions. I mean, I don't care. I have an audience that is there. A lot of, I have a ton of women in their 50s that are on Instagram. You think it's all kids, but it's so not. There's so many people of all different ages and they love the emoji. I mean, it's just, it's a great way to give a feeling. I mean, even just using the fun little symbols of like planes or a muscle arm or whatever it is, whenever I have the opportunity to use an emoji, I totally do. Second, you know, long versus short, like I was talking to you about before, really doesn't matter. Like it's just really just make your content useful, be real. This is like rules 101 of blogging, basically, you know, just like be cool and let your personality shine through. So, I mean, it's just such an opportunity, especially if you are a business or something that most people wouldn't normally associate with something personal. This is just a great opportunity to get personal with your followers and your fans and give them something cool. Another thing is, we didn't really talk about this, but it's captions. When you format your caption, you don't want it to be, the editor in Instagram doesn't really let you do much as far as putting enter and space and like making your caption sort of layout look really nice. So what I do is I always write my caption, especially if it's going to be a longer one, in the note app in my phone so that I can format it, put spaces between things. And then I just copy and paste it into Instagram. And don't forget to put your hashtags in there. I go back and forth. Sometimes if I have a lot of hashtags I want to use, I don't put it in right in the caption. But there is a reason to put hashtags in the caption. I don't know. Can I shift and talk a little bit about hashtags here?
Yeah, let's go to hashtags.
Okay. Hashtags are the one live link that you get in your caption. So what I mean by live link is that hashtags create their own feed within Instagram that anyone who has that hashtag on their picture can go and look at. You can't add your own hashtag to someone else's picture. You have to add it to your own picture. That's the only way it will work. Like you'll see picture, people will come and make a comment on one of my posts and they'll say something like, you know, hashtag sexy or hashtag this is awesome. But that won't make my pictures show up in the this is awesome hashtag feed unless I add it myself. So just keep that in mind. You have to add your own hashtags. You can go back and add them later. Doesn't matter, just as long as you add them yourself. What's really cool about the hashtags is that it allows you to get found much more easily when you're first starting out with Instagram. You want to use Statagram, that website I told you about before, to see what the most popular hashtags on Instagram are. It's great. It'll give you really good information about that. And then you kind of want to leverage that in the beginning to sort of like get found, but also create your own unique hashtag so that people can find you. And you create almost like, I like to call it the campfire for my tribe to sit around. Like when they see me posting, like I'll always add the Betty Rocker hashtag to the bottom of a caption so that they can see it, because now I have this huge Betty Rocker hashtag feed that's basically like a web page inside of Instagram that's just people who've used the Betty Rocker hashtag. It gives me this awesome opportunity to go in and interact with them, like their pictures, comment on their pictures, and build more brand engagement. They use Body Fuel System, which is my clean eating guide. They use that hashtag all the time. So I can go in and see how they're doing with their recipes and their food. And so can other people. So it's a great way for me to sell more of my books or sell more of my products, because people can see what other people are doing, how useful they think it is. And they get real, real honest comments and real honest feedback. It's so nice to go into a Body Fuel System hashtag feed and see a picture of a recipe that I invented in my little tiny kitchen back in Denver like 6 years ago. And someone from some other country is commenting on how much they like that recipe and that they gave it to their kids and their kids loved it. And it's just awesome for me as a content provider to feel that engagement and feel that community. So it really, I feel like the hashtags are a really special way to build and create community within Instagram. And you should definitely utilize that.
Yeah. And I'm immediately thinking there must be ways you can use hashtags to create rules with if this, then that, and to syndicate them, and bookmark them and store them in Evernote and all sorts of cool stuff. Yeah. Because it's just that trackable codec.
Right.
You know, I think that's sort of how Twitter works a little bit too, isn't it?
Yes, definitely. But in Instagram, it's weird because you can't use a live, you can't. Okay. So when you go on online right now, you could go online and type in Instagram.com/TheBettyRocker and you could click on any of my pictures, but you wouldn't actually be able to see all the comments. You wouldn't actually be able to click on the hashtags online. It's not creating, you can only click on the username. They're really like keeping it within the app. So there are a lot more rules to it, and that may be sort of a turnoff for some people, but for other people, it's going to be a turn on because there's just so many things you can do with it that other people aren't doing. So you've got a really unique marketplace that just has a lot of opportunity. I would say that if internet marketing is the Wild West, Instagram is in Neverland. Sorry, pardon my French, but seriously, that's like, there's no, I mean, the rule, I say there's rules, but there also are kind of like no rules. Like you can do a lot of things and people are very, very open to what you're posting on Instagram, which is awesome, especially if you have a really good heart and you have something really great to share. You know, there's a lot of slimy jerks out there too, but you don't have to follow them. You know, you can, people are, have complete control over who they follow on Instagram. You know, it gives you this amazing social proof, right? Like I've got 85,000 followers, but I'm following 260 people. People see that and they're immediately like, wow, who's this? I need to follow this person. You know, it's a great way to kind of let people know you're a badass.
Fantastic. Okay. So let's sort of wrap to a close in terms of an action step guide. You've covered a lot of the most important things.
Yes.
Why is Instagram important? What is Instagram? It's more than just a little camera app that you can push pictures to Facebook. How do we do it? You've given us a lot of cool stuff, and especially tips and tricks and apps we can use. So we've listened to this. We're on board. How does someone like me or our typical listener start? What would be, you know, if we had a little post-it note and a pen, what would be our action steps?
Awesome. I'm so glad you asked. Number one, set up more than one account, set up two accounts. This is the way of the future right now with Instagram that nobody's doing, and you need to do this. You want to set up two accounts, one for your brand, your personal brand, whatever it is. And the second one is a feature account. I want you to build a feature account. I want you to think about using Instagram as a way to leverage other people's content. So you want to curate other people's content in this feature account, because that allows you to get noticed by the people that you feature, and they may want to feature you back. I told you guys earlier about using Kick to talk to these feature accounts, but you want to have your own feature account, because then you can drive traffic to your own site as well as using it to build a huge following. And you can outsource this to someone on Elance to run for you. And there's all kinds of examples of people who are doing that. It's very easy. But as far as getting started, start out by buying some followers. You don't want to come out like asking someone to do a shout out for shout out with you if you have like 20 followers. It's pathetic. Get on there and do the stupid thing, which is buy 5,000 followers. And you can do this on Fiverr.com or, you know, one of the other sites. But I would recommend, when you're getting started, definitely make it look like you have some followers, and then immediately start doing shout out for shout out using the feature accounts to get you some real followers, and make sure that you have at least 10 to 15 good posts in your feed, so that when a new person comes and sees your page, they've got content there that they want to follow. Don't post pictures of your kids and your family and your dog and waking up in the morning, unless any of those specific things are what your brand is about or what you're trying to sell. You want to be very consistent with what your message is in the beginning, especially when you're huge. You can post some lifestyle stuff, but in the beginning, keep it really clean. Think about the user experience 100%. Like, what do they want to see when they're scrolling through their phone? What about your post is going to make them stop and like it, and then want to read your caption and go to your profile and click your link or whatever it is. Honestly, like, participate in contests, find contests on Instagram that are happening within your market and play their game, be in the hashtag feed, use the hashtags on your captions as much as you can in the beginning, so that you can, don't write stupid sentences like hashtag this while you're typing a post. Save the hashtags for the end of your caption. You don't want to look like a needy, desperate jerk who's just like looking for followers, because of course we're all just looking for followers on Instagram, but you also want to make it all about the user. It's all about them and their experience with your feed. So start your own feed, start a feature account, and put up a few really relevant, good posts, buy some followers to start with, so that you get a little kickstart, a little boost, and then get rid of those followers as soon as possible. They won't really engage with you. So at least I don't think so. I've heard mixed reviews about those things, but definitely try it. What else?
We'll be your guinea pigs. We can come back and check the comments.
Come back.
Hey, that worked.
Definitely. Hey, that worked. Yes, definitely. Oh, last thing. Very important, your profile. Maximize the use of your profile. Okay, your profile, type it up in your note app, like I was suggesting before, and make sure that your first row of pictures shows above the fold. Basically, you guys all know what I'm talking about. Like, don't write your profile so that there's so much in it that you can't even see the pictures when you go to your profile. And also, use your name This is a cool trick that I did. Use your name as a sub headline for your brand. So instead of where it says name in your profile, when you're supposed to enter your name, it doesn't say Betty Rocker. My account's already at the Betty Rocker. They don't need me to say Betty Rocker again. I instead have that say the sort of the tagline of my brand, which is rocking health and fitness. So use that area because that shows up and it kind of like gets people thinking. And when you write your profile, make sure that you use emoji to really personalize it, make it fun. And then consider using your, remember you can change your link in your profile anytime you want. So I'll constantly mix it up depending on what promotion I'm running. And that's just a really great way to do it. Because you tell them in your caption, hey, go to the link in my profile for this awesome cheat sheet that I just created for you guys. And boom, they're on my squeeze page and they're getting that content. And I got my list bumped up another 10,000 people. So
now this is the thing. I saw you hit the homepage or something and suddenly it was on. It was like getting the Marlin on the line.
Are you talking about the like the popular page?
Yeah, you posted something and it hit the first page and then it was like shoo, like a feeding frenzy.
Right. Yeah, sometimes I'll get featured on the popular page, and that happens when you get a lot of engagement with a post really quickly, really early on, and that's definitely one way to really grow your following because a bazillion people will see that on the popular page. The popular page is the little star icon on your Instagram. That's the row that it is. And so if you click that right now, you'll see the most popular, most trending posts on Instagram. So when you get on that page, it's pretty badass because a gazillion people will see you.
Well, I'm like a little badass in the making. I've got my 9 posts and 423 followers. Look out.
James, I'm going to check back up on you.
Well, now I have to do something since only a few thousand people will listen to this and they'll probably wonder what I'm up to.
Well, I'm really curious actually to hear from your listeners, and I hope that you guys will post in some questions for me because I'm really curious to see how creative you can be in coming up with ways to utilize Instagram for brands outside of the health and fitness space. I hope I've given you some good ideas to think about, and I really hope you'll kind of go off on a tangent and come up with something awesome.
I might start with my cupcakes.
I think you should.
All right, Bree. Well, thank you so much for sharing this. I know that you don't reveal this information very often, and I appreciate all the effort you went through to show me what you're up to and explain how it works. And you've put a bit of preparation into thinking about this from a first timer's perspective. So I really admire your willingness to share and to help others. Hopefully you'll stick around and answer a few comments right under this podcast on superfastbusiness.com. I'm sure there'll be some questions because it's a topic I don't think I've ever covered before in my whole 6 or 7 years of putting out information. So thank you for being gentle with us.
Oh, it's so my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me. And I'm more than happy to answer anyone's questions to the best of my ability.
Thank you so much. So check out the Betty Rocker. It's a Facebook page. It's an Instagram. It's a movement.
It's a blog. It's everything.
See ya.
See ya.
Discover how to build your business
super fast.
Check out superfastbusiness.com.